Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him, and He loves us. The love of God is what takes us far. The love of God helps us overcome every problem we could ever have. The love of God helps us to have the courage we need. You know, perfect love casts out fear, helps you throw caution to the wind, and stand for what's right. Anybody that take on the nature of Jesus, it's one thing to be saved, but you have to be a student of the Word of God and do what Jesus said do to take on His nature. Now your personality will be enhanced. Your personality, if you take on the nature of Jesus, will be enhanced. And it will work. God will you see your personality in the world is suppressed. And this is why people run into so many problems. This is why so many problems linger in such a mighty church. Now, God has people that stand for what's right, do what's right, believe in what's right. But they could go so much further along if they would walk in the love of God more towards each other. And I'm not talking about just stay out of trouble kind of love. I'm talking about love a person's soul. Just like Jesus loves you. Now that's what Jesus said in the beginning. In Saint John chapter 13. It's very important to pay attention to what Jesus. Now right before Jesus left. Just before he died for us. If the things that he taught the disciples. From chapter 13 to chapter 17 is very important. You know, yesterday's broadcast, we talked about, it was called responsibility. That's what God named it. And he gave them the example of washing each other's feet and loving each other like he loves them. And this is something that they would never forget. They would never forget such an example. They remember it today. Because the people of God are still alive, see. They're just in heaven. They're just not on earth. That died, that, you know, the people, you know, Peter and all the 12 apostles, you know, Judas, he went to hell, but the rest of them went to heaven. But Jesus taught things that they really needed to know. And in verse 34, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another." Let me read it again. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye love one another." So, if they're going to love each other the way Jesus loved them, that's the new standard. And he gave them to them right before he died for them. You know, if you can remember the last words spoken by somebody, a parent that may have died or a grandparent that may have died, the last remarks they had to say, those remarks are etched in your heart. The last time you spoke to them, the last thing, you know, they voiced to you, you know. Well, he had to die for them. And this is what Jesus said. This is the foundation of the church. After being born again, this kind of love right here in verse 34 will help you overcome any obstacle. Even if you don't have the skill, you can overcome any obstacle if you have this kind of love as your foundation. And I'm going to read it again. It's so good, so rich. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, when people don't have this kind of love, a lot of things stay in place that Satan did. Satan can deceive people. That's all he is, a deceiver. That's his power. His power is to deceive people. Years ago, the Lord taught me something about him. He said he tempts us individually to fear what other people, fear individually what people think collectively. Now, because of this, sometimes people say nothing because they fear being ostracized. They fear being put out of the club or church or denomination or whatever if they're different. But perfect love casts out fear, according to 1 John. Now, John was standing right there when Jesus taught him this love. Now, everything John wrote is revelation after Jesus said this. He understood volumes when the Lord spoke these things. This is how the Holy Spirit works. When Jesus spoke to him, these are the things that he received. Because when the Lord talked to me, I understand more than just a phrase. I understand volumes of information with it. It's referenced by the Holy Spirit. Perfect love cast out fear. He couldn't say that till Jesus said this. And he experienced the love of Jesus. He saw how Jesus operated. He saw how Jesus spoke. He saw how Jesus was always appropriate. He faced the demons. He faced the traditions. He faced the persuasions of men. Jesus was not afraid of what people thought collectively. The enemy tried to tempt him that way, but he don't get tempted. You cannot be tempted when you have the perfect love of God in you. The fiery darts can't stick to you when you have this kind of love. And ask me how I know. When I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people, a lot of things changed. So many things changed. If I had to lose everything God ever taught me and keep one, it'll be that, to learn how to love his people. Because through that, I learned how to do everything I do. I learned how to stick with what God is doing. Long term. Hebrews, if you listen to Jesus, you're better off already. You're already warned. From the day you began listening to him, you conquered the world by your faith. And I mean, if you stick with the love of God, your whole life will conquer the world. Every stage, every glory you enter into, you're just going to conquer some more. Now, Hebrews 12:2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." See, verse 1 is following chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. You know, and then he finishes saying, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God," the right hand of the throne of God. So, if we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher, we don't just get started. We finish things because we're looking to him. Now let's look at the Hall of Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you have to have the love of God, because in order for faith to work, faith works by love. Pride works by fear. Everybody who get in pride, they always operate by fear. That's a telltale sign. They do. If you act on fear, you start a process of death. Unless it's the fear of the Lord. But if you're operating on fear, if you want to get rid of the fear, you have to get rid of the pride, which is to receive the love of God in your heart and stop doing things that pertain to pride. Pride looks within. It puts pressure on you to perform. But the love of God You're in obedience. You're living the light. Jesus said, let your light shine. You don't have to make it shine. It's already there. You just have to walk it out. Let it shine. Let it do what it do. And perform the work that's, you know, adjust to the love of God and operate in, and you'll be the light, and you'll expose darkness for what it is, wherever it is. When people mention your name, they got an automatic reference of the love of God. And they'll have to search to say something against you. Why? Because the light in you came from God, not you. It came from the new birth. We received it. The fruits of the Spirit, we received it. We walk in it. We don't make it happen. We don't have to pray that it'll work. It works. If you stick with the love of God and act on it, it works. It's supposed to work. He didn't say make it shine. He said let it shine. Okay. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All the planets God made, and all the realms, and every generation, from generation to generation. Through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything God made, he made by his love. And it's real. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He stuck with something. He stood for something. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepare an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. This is powerful. Moses, we all are standing on Noah's shoulders and his sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they all put in to build that ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. How about that? You're going somewhere and you don't know where you're going. Because you believe God. You took him at face value by faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Wherefore, see, it goes, it's a carryover. Verse 12 should have been connected. I mean, chapter 12 should have been connected to 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking up, now this is the power. This is what makes it all work. We have the love, but we got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, we have the love of God. We have a reference by the Hall of Faith, chapter 11. And we see that verse 12 is carrying over. The word wherefore gives it away. That should have been connected in the same chapter. See, that chapter interruption, sometimes people stop at one chapter, but they don't finish the conclusion of it. And it keeps going. I just stopped at verse 2. Now, but for the points that I want to make, the church has been through so many evil storms, so many mindsets. Once people believe something, a barrier is set up. If you like what you hear, and I told my children years ago, everything looks good from a certain point of view. Everything, all the evil things, the stupid things, wild things, all of it looks good from a certain point of view. And once you're convinced, a barrier goes up. Okay, your daughter go to college. She was raised in church, but she hear this handsome professor that's an atheist talking, the philosopher. And it makes sense to her. Because some things that happen in church shouldn't happen. But now, in an intelligent looking setting, here's this guy talking about things in a seemingly more intelligent way. So once she gets convinced, then she thinks she don't need God anymore. She puts God in the category of a myth. And this happens to good people. This happens all the time. I told my children, I said, when you go to college, they're going to try to, Satan wants the smartest people to be persuaded by him. That's why a lot of people, that finish college, they're pressurized into being atheists or witches or something. Now, they can put up with any other religion. You can be a Muslim, Buddhist, whatever you want to be. You can do ancestor worship. You can be a witch. You can be a warlock, whatever you want to be. But a Christian, they focus on them. They focus against Christians. But from a certain point of view, they can make it look good, especially when we're not walking in the light. Now, since I make people mad when I teach, I have to, because I love. If you're going to follow Jesus, Jesus went around doing good. He didn't go around doing evil. So when people have darkness in their lives, they want to keep it that way. If they believe in their darkness, if they like it. You know, it's important. You have to break through by the light. The light of God's word helps you break through. When you follow God, and people they like something in the world, but you have the love of God in you. You operate by the fruits of the Spirit, and then the gifts of the Spirit can operate in your life. Well, when this happens, you become controversial. And when you become controversial, people don't always accept it. They don't, you know, when you expose people, like their darkness to be hidden. But here you come in with the love of God, doing God's will. You change everything. When the light walks in the room, the darkness is expelled. It can't comprehend it. When the Lord sent me to, I said, Lord, you're sending me to different churches and with a message. What about the doctrinal boundaries and the doctrinal differences? He said that darkness can't instruct your light. That's how he put it. He said their darkness cannot instruct your light. Go anyway. And I did. I obeyed him. Now, I was doing something that was holy, that God told me to do. And it was very important. Looking back on it, I'm glad I did it. I used to fear doing it. I used to have to make myself do God's will. I used to pray in the Holy Ghost until I had enough courage to go forward. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I want to, with everything I just read in mind, never forget that. But with that in mind, every obstacle I faced, I asked the Lord how to go about it. Now, I had to live the word of God. I couldn't compromise what Jesus taught. I couldn't compromise any part of the word. I had to live it. And I loved the people. That motivated me to follow through. It was very challenging because it's easy to feel what people think collectively. But sometimes change is necessary. You're just going to have to be, you're going to have to get your fear out. Cast down imaginations, drive that fear out of your life, and receive the courage of God and go in his strength and do what you got to do. And everything, some of the things I did was not popular. And I don't care. I got to a point I didn't care, but I love the people so much I did it. As I saw the need, that made me want to go forward even more. Because God gave me a strong love for pastors and his people. It was that his will was like fire shut up in my bone. I had to do it. Now, so everything, you know, in life, Wherever I go, I listen. I was raised in a Methodist church. Some of my friends went to denominational churches. And whenever I take on a job, go to school, I don't tell people I'm a Christian, and I don't tell them I'm a preacher. I say, if I'm living like I'm supposed to, they'll figure it out. But this is the other thing. I wanted the ability to eavesdrop. I wanted to know what people talk about. Now, Christians are talking about Christians. They have opinions about other denominations and Pentecostals. The denominational churches talk about the holiness churches. The holiness churches talk about the Pentecostal churches. Even Baptists and Methodists talk about each other. How they fall out about how they baptize and don't baptize. And then even in the Pentecostal church, you know, sometimes people get caught up in a pet doctrine. And they love that doctrine more than they do the Lord himself. Or they act like they do. You know, I went to a church before. Now, the basic doctrine, you need the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues to be saved. All right. And you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. The women couldn't wear pants and jewelry and makeup. And also, they had to wear a doily on their head. Now, you can see how divisive this becomes. But through following God, I learned through reading the Word and just paying attention to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I began to realize this. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I said, you know, I don't want to just parrot things. I want to just say things that's wrong. I want to teach precisely what God is saying, because I caught people in so many lies, doctrinal lies were being taught, and I didn't want to further it. I saw how divisive it was, so I really wasn't motivated to preach, because I knew I didn't, you know, I said, what if I preach something wrong? Well, the Lord didn't hear, he wasn't concerned about my thoughts like I was, because he was going to tell me what to say. Now, once I realized he would give me what to say, then I was excited. I knew I could do a perfect work, because the work of God is holy. You don't mess it up. In my mind, that's how you don't just go and throw anything to God. You do it right if you're going to do it. So this was how it was. I loved him, and I didn't want to mess it. I mess up everything. So I didn't want to mess up something that's so holy. I had that kind of devotion, and the Lord worked with me. So when he gave me a message, I spoke what he said, and I didn't preach but about 20 minutes, if that, and I go sit down. I didn't try to make it longer than it was supposed to be or add something to it, and I didn't parrot the pet doctrines people have. I started seeing holes in those doctrines. Now, when I was in school, people would talk about the girls that was dressed up the way that they were dressed in the long dresses and no makeup. They would talk about them. And the girl would be insulted. Now, at church, she was going to church. Everybody was talking about the way you dress. And see, her love for God and devotion was God was became performance. That ideology was divisive. And a lot of girls, they got they backslid because of it. Some of them continued to go to the church, and they were convinced. When you're convinced about something, a wall goes up. Nobody can tell you any different. And a lot of things that we do, it can be divisive. Anything that's based on fear, if you're doing it out of fear, it's divisive. The holiness church had a lot to say. They embraced the gifts of the Spirit. The move of the Holy Spirit. They embraced a lot of good things. But the rules and regulations that they were trying to keep turned the attention from the holy things of God to performance. Now just bear with me, because I'm going somewhere. I've seen this so many times. And it actually gave credibility. It seemed to give credibility to denominational church, because I was around people that were in denominational churches. And they say they stay in church all night. They hoop and holler. You don't know what they're talking about. They talked about all the negative. I'm just listening. You know, I'd be on a job somewhere, and they talk about what their auntie did or whoever they know. And then when the girls get pregnant, they just crazy. See, the enemy will accuse you. If you're not walking according to the love of God, he has something to work with. There were so many things to work. Then on the other side, I'm around holiness people. They don't speak in tongues. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't believe in healing. They don't, you know. But I was raised in a home. Now, my daddy would pray for people. And sometimes people would get healed, but he didn't think it. He believed in the Pentecostal way, but he didn't think it took all that. But look at the reference that he got. The things that was divisive. Now, what if people actually focused on the love of God? And people love intelligence.